Romans chapter 8. It's good to have each of you back with us this evening. We had a good crowd again this morning. We're thankful for that. Thankful. A lot of young people here on Sunday mornings, and I appreciate all the young people's faithfulness that we have. Now, what we're doing on Sunday nights is we're dealing with Romans chapter 8. And what we've done is we've went down through it, and we're dealing with it verse by verse. And I'm not going to give a review to it tonight. I did last week. And let me again stress that why you go through a text verse by verse is it forces you to deal with the text. If you're not careful, preachers can become like they get an arsenal about six sermons, and that's what they preach all the time. But if you'll look at a text verse by verse, it forces you to look at things that a lot of times people look at and say, well, I never know the Bible said that. Well, that's because they never heard it taught verse by verse. So that's the reason why I like to pick a text to work through. I like to teach topics, but I also like to go through a chapter verse by verse. And Romans 8 is one of the great chapters in the Word of God. It can be entitled Eternal Security because it presents all the different reasons in it why we are eternally secure. There's a commentary by Charles Hodge, and that's pretty much the route that he takes with it. Because you can bring out the different truths that are contained in this text and prove that great doctrine of eternal security. But tonight, we're going to look at verse 28. We dealt with half of it last week. And we want to read our text, and I'll give you the outline that I'm going to be using tonight. Look at verse 28. And we know. Now, it doesn't say we think, does it? This is something we know. And this is a statement that Paul was writing back 2,000 years ago. He's writing to the church at Rome. They knew it. He knew it. And really, all God's people should know it. Now, what should we know? Well, we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, what we're going to focus on tonight is the latter part of that, which says the called according to His purpose. That's going to be our message for tonight. Now, last week, we looked at all things working together for the good. Now, is that for everybody? No, it's for those that love the Lord that all things work together for the good. Now, does that mean all things? Yes, indeed it does mean all things. He'll take all, and that's one of the things that does is that makes sense out of the senseless. It's something you can draw strength from. There's a lot of things happening in life that you don't understand, that you can't figure out any, you know, how it possibly could work together for the good. But you got to understand you don't have all the information either. And once time goes by and you get more in, there's some things you won't understand until you get to heaven too, by the way. But until you do, what do you do with this verse? Somebody tell me. You trust it. You trust it. I don't understand it. I don't know. But guess what? I believe it. And I plop my head up against it like a pillow and lean and sit on it. And it gives me a lot of comfort, okay? Now, the called according to His purpose, as I said, is going to be the message for this evening. Everybody see where it says the called according to His purpose? Now, I'm going to give you four details about this calling, maybe five. I'm not sure yet. I'm going to give you four details about it. Number one, are you ready? This calling is a salvation calling. When you're talking about the called according to His purpose, this is talking about a salvation calling, and I'm going to prove that to you here in just a little bit. Number two, this calling is an inward calling. Not only is it a salvation calling, but it is an inward calling. Number three, this calling is a calling to be a saint. This calling is a calling to be a saint. And then last of all, this calling is a love calling. Now, let me give them to you again. It's a salvation calling. It's an inward calling. It's a saint calling, or in other words, a calling to be a saint. And then number four, the calling, it's a love calling. So those are the 4 points we're going to look at this evening. All right, let's go ahead and deal with the first part. It says we are the called according to His purpose. Now, one thing we need to understand is sometimes the Lord calls people to special work. For instance, all years back, after I was saved and been saved for a while, the Lord called me to be a preacher, to be a pastor. That was That's a calling of the Lord. Again, Again, the pastoral office is a calling. That's what I want you to understand. What's happening anymore is people are going to college to become a preacher. Like they go to college to become a professor or go to college to become a doctor. And there ain't nothing wrong with a man of God going to college to learn more. But the pastoral office is a calling from the Lord. It's a calling. You don't go to school to become a preacher. You are called to be a pastor, then you go to school to learn more. You see the difference? And that's one of the problems is too many people are getting into the pastorate as a profession. And that's all it is to them. It's a profession. And it's not so much a calling. You see what I'm trying to say? So, this is not what this is talking about. Sometimes God will call someone to be a missionary. And it's a calling of the Lord. And He calls folks to do that particular office. It's a special calling to special works. Everybody see what I'm talking about? This is not what this text is talking about. This is a calling to salvation. And what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to describe this in several different ways, but let me prove it to you. Let's look here in Romans chapter 8, and let's look down into verse 29. Now, you see how it says who are the called according to His purpose in verse 28? Now, if you go down in verse 29, and I'm going to deal with verse 29 next week, so you'll have to come back for next week's message on verse 29. It says, whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, which means to predetermine, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now watch for the word called in verse 29. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, predetermine, them He also, what did He do? All right, them He also called. And whom He called, what did He do? He justified. You see the point? That's why I said this is a salvation calling. It says whom He calls, what does He do? They get justified. Now, what does justified mean? It means to be declared righteous. It's the act in which a righteous God declares a sinner righteous. You know how to get justified? Romans 5:1 says we're justified by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, justification, what precedes justification? Whom He called? He justifies. So, this is a calling to salvation. And when He calls you, and this is an inward calling, we'll look at this here in a little bit, the result of that calling will be you're justified. Okay? Now, let's notice some examples here that I want to give you. 1 John chapter 5 is a verse that I quote all the time. But I'm going to go ahead. Now, if you can't find things in your Bible, don't try. You write these verses down and look at them. When He calls, I'm going to show you what happens. When He calls. Now, when I'm talking about the Lord calling you, I'm talking about Him doing it through the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit does is He works on your heart. He works on you on the inside. And so this is actually an inward calling of the Holy Spirit that I'm actually talking about. But right now I'm looking, just proving the fact that this calling is a salvation calling. Because who receives this calling, according to verse 29, those He calls, what does He do to them again? He justifies them. All right, now this is what happens when He calls a person. 1 John 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of Man is come. Now, do we know that? Sure do. Now, here's what the Lord done for you, and here's what the Lord done for me. If you're here tonight and saved, here's the reason, here's something that the Lord done for you. That's what it says in verse 20. We know that the Son of God has come. Now, watch this now. He hath given us an understanding. He hath given us an understanding that we may know Him. Everybody see it? So why do you understand who Jesus is? Why do you understand why He died and resurrected? Why do you understand it? Well, it's not because you are smarter than everybody else, is it? Or more intelligent. You understand because He gave you the understanding to know Him that is true. Notice what it says. Let's look at it again. He hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, that we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Romans 3, now you don't have to turn there, but most of you know what it says. In Romans chapter 3 and the verse 10 and 11, it says, there is none that understandeth, and there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Romans 3, 10 through 20 gives you a look at man's heart from the eyes of God at what He sees. Before the Lord give us an understanding to know Him, we never understood. We never understood. We never understood at all. So He give us that understanding. Now let's look back a few pages and let's go to Hebrews 10. So when He called you, when He gave you this salvation calling, what came with that is He gave you an understanding to know Him. That's why you do know Him. And you saw it. And you desired it. And you trusted it. See? Where did that understanding come from again? Come from Him. He gave it to you. So you don't have no right to glory in it, do you? Only that's why the Lord says in 1 Corinthians 1, He that glories, let him glory in the Lord, because He gave the understanding. All right, now notice Hebrews 10 and the verse 32. Remember, this is Bible study. Can't find things, don't try. Write the verses down, look them up. Now here it uses the term illuminated. It says, but call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction. Now, what does it mean to be illuminated? Well, if I turn all the lights, don't you do it. Now, I know how you people are. If you turn all these lights off right now, this room would go dark, wouldn't it? But if you flip that light switch, what would happen? You would have illuminated this room. That means you would have given this room light. Before you were saved, not only didn't you understand before the Lord touched your heart and give you that understanding, but guess what else you was? You were blinded. You were blind. Now, the old-timey Christians knew that. As a matter of fact, John Newton knew it. The old preacher from England, he knew it when he wrote Amazing Grace. Remember what he said in Amazing Grace? I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind. I was what? Blind. And now I see. I see. I remember when I didn't see. I could see physically, but I couldn't see Him spiritually. You know why I see? He illuminated my mind. Not only did He give me the understanding to know Him, but He gave me illumination. He gave me light. Aren't you glad He did? That's why I was loving Him so. If it wasn't for that illumination, I'd still be in darkness. I'd still be blinded. If it wasn't for His illumination, I still wouldn't understand. Wouldn't understand at all. Now let's turn to John 6. So this calling to salvation is a salvation calling. It's a calling that goes to the heart. And in this calling, what He does is He opens your understanding and He illuminates your man. Now let's go to John chapter 6 now. I'm going to leave out a few verses here. I think I proved my point what I'm talking about as far as that's concerned. I'm showing you why you need Him, His calling. And you need His calling because you need to be given understanding. You need to be given illumination. John chapter 6 now. I love this text. John 6 verse 37. Now, verse 37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come. Now, I'm not going to deal with that given part tonight. I'll deal with the given part next week. It says, all that the Father giveth me shall do what? It says, you're going to come to me. All that the Father giveth me, it says, they shall come to me. And him that comes to me, I will do what? So He says, all the Father gives me, they're going to come. Now, it doesn't leave no doubt that they're going to come, does it? He doesn't say, I hope they come. I'm going to do everything I can to bring them. Or I wish they'll come. It says, they shall come. Do you know why He knows they're going to come? because He's going to draw them. He's going to open their understanding. He's going to illuminate their minds. And He's also going to open their hearts. He's going to do all those things. Look at verse 44. I'm going to ask you a question on verse 44. I'm trying to get you to, I want you to think with me tonight. John 6 and verse 44. Notice what verse 44 says. No man can come to me. Now, I'll stop there just a minute. Now, aren't you glad that verse don't stop? I mean, aren't you glad that isn't it? Now, here it says that no man can come. It said in verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come. Him that comes, I'm not ever going to cast them out. Okay? But it goes on into verse 44 and says that no man can come. Why is that? Huh? You know, before you say, Ephesians 2 says that you were dead in trespasses and in sins. Dead. Blinded. Your heart was closed. You was in bad shape, and so was I. But it says, no man can come to me. But notice what it says right after that. It says, except. Everybody say, except. See, there's an exception to that. Except the Father do what? What's it say? Father has to draw him, doesn't it? Father has to draw. And He does that through the means of the Holy Spirit. He draws people. He draws them. He preached the gospel. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You preach the gospel, and then the Holy Spirit takes that message to the heart, and He draws people to Himself. That's what He does. He draws you. Aren't you glad He does? But the reason why a person is not going to come till that day is because they are dead. Now, let me use you an example. You remember Lazarus, he died and he was 4 days in the tomb, remember? He's 4 days in there. I mean, and Jesus went to the edge of that tomb. And could Lazarus come out of that tomb on his own? Why, no. Can anybody tell me why? He's deader than a doornail in there. He'd been in that tomb 4 days. As a matter of fact, they were concerned because they said, Lord, he stinks for now. You don't want to open that tomb up now. Well, you don't want us to open that tomb up. He'd been in there 4 days and he stinks. You know, so Lazarus couldn't come out of that tomb, could he? Couldn't come out on his own. Can anybody tell me why? He's dead. There's no life there. He ain't going to come out of there as long as he's dead. You know what happened? The sweet king went to the edge of that tomb and he said, what? Lazarus, come forth. And buddy, out of there he come. When Jesus called him, he come out. And you know when he called him, at the same time he called him, he give him life. And he come out. It's what the Lord did for you the day you were saved. Now you might not like it. A lot of people don't. But it don't stop being true. You were dead as a doornail before you were saved spiritually. And the day he saved your soul, he called you. And you come out. And the same day that he calls you, he give you life. He give you spiritual life. And you understood. And he illuminated your mind. And he opened your heart. And you saw and you trusted him. How many of you has ever heard of Lydia, the seller of purple? I want you to raise your right hand. I want to see how many knows. Who opened her heart? Read in Acts 16. Whose heart the Lord opened? And when he opens your heart, he opens your understanding. And when he calls you, you come. All God's people said. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. The reason why no man can come is because they're dead. They got to be given spiritual life. They have to be given illumination. They have to have a new birth. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. You have to be born of the Spirit. And the Lord is the one that does that. It's a salvation. It's a salvation calling. Okay? All right. Does everybody understand that? Now let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. So it's a salvation calling. We're looking at this called according to His purpose is the title of our message. And what I'm telling you, I'm giving you four details of this calling. Detail number one, it's a calling to salvation. Not a calling to be a preacher or not a calling to be a missionary or calling whatever. This is a salvation calling because when you look at verse 29, it says, whom He calls, He justifies. Justification, salvation. Let me say it one more time. Justification is salvation. So who gets the glory for your salvation? Does the preacher? No, the Lord does, because He's the one who saved you. Salvation's of the Lord. All right, now let's notice the second one. Second detail is that this is an inward calling. Not only is it a salvation calling, but it is an inward calling. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 1 and light there just a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want to talk a little bit about this calling to salvation, this being called according to His purpose. I'm going to show you that's an inward calling. Now, there's two types of callings that I want to get you real acquainted with. What I do when I'm preaching, I'm giving an outward calling. I'm outwardly calling. And you hear me do it probably every service. I call on people to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an outward calling. People give that calling. When I do the radio broadcast, I give a calling over there. I'm calling on people to trust Christ, and it's an outward calling. You notice the difference? Men give outward callings, but there's an inward calling, and the inward calling is given by the Holy Spirit. And in the inward calling, the Holy Spirit works on the heart, and it's in here. See? The Holy Spirit's the one that convicts the heart, and the Holy Spirit is the one that opens the heart and draws the person, like we've already talked about. So it's in here. So there's an outward calling and there's an inward calling, but this calling to salvation that we're talking about right here, it is an inward calling. Notice what it says here in 1 Corinthians 1, and I'm going to show you the difference between the outward call and the inward call. Verse 22, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." He says, "We preach Christ crucified." And that's Apostle Paul. He's talking about him and, of course, the people that was with him. "We preach Christ crucified." It says, "And to the Jews it was a stumbling block." Now, why was the preaching Christ crucified a stumbling block to the Jews? They weren't looking for a crucified Messiah. They were looking, the word Christ means Messiah. They were looking for someone to come in like Joshua or like David and to run all the Romans out of the land. They were looking for deliverance from the bondage of the Roman oppression. They weren't looking for a Messiah that would die and rise again. So that for the Jews, that was a what? A stumbling block. And I want to tell you something else. It's still a stumbling block for them all the way down to the day. You said you believe in Christ? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But do you believe that Jesus Christ? No. And you'd ask them why, they'd tell you because He died. So they weren't looking for deliverance in that fashion. Of course, Jesus came to deliver in the greatest fashion. What is that? To deliver you from your sin debt. To deliver you from condemnation by paying your sin debt and rising again. So here it says, that's why it's a stumbling block to the Jews. And to the Greeks, it was foolishness. Now we've seen Paul and Mars Hill in the book of Acts 17. And he was preaching at the highest court of the land in Athens. And they thought it was foolishness. All those Greek philosophers, they thought it was foolishness. Man dying and rising, being saved, eternal life. They thought these things were foolish. They lived just for the materialistic things. Men are still like that today, aren't they? They think God's people are foolish. They're living for the temporary, but God's people's living for the eternal. All right, now look back at verse 23. "We preach Christ." That's the outward call. To the Jews, it was to a stumbling block. To the Greeks, what was it? Now, notice the next verse. "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and wisdom of God." To most of the Jews and Greeks, it was foolishness, outward call. They rejected that outward call. But unto the Jews and Greeks that were called, that's the inward call. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom. What's the difference between the two? One was inward, one was outward. That inward call is done by the Holy Spirit. That's the difference. Now let's look down at verse 26. Now watch how many times he uses the term calling and chosen. Are you ready? Look at verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many mighty, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God hath chosen the foolish things. And look up here in this pulpit. You see a foolish thing. God hath chosen the foolish things of this world. Aren't you glad? To confound the wise, God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Now I want everybody in the house to look at verse 30. But of Him are ye in Christ. Why are you in Christ tonight, folks? Of Him are ye in Christ. Why does it say of Him? Because He called you. Because He called you. Now watch this. Of Him are ye in Christ, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now look at verse 31. That according as is written, he that glories, let him glory in who? Glory in the Lord. Because if it wasn't for Him calling you, you'd still be in your sin. If it wasn't for Him illuminating you, you'd still be in your sin. If it wasn't for Him opening your understanding, you'd still be in your sin. So if you're going to glory for your salvation, glory in the Lord. He's the one that deserves it because He's the one that saved you. He's the one that did it. Ain't that wonderful? It's an inward calling. Have you ever noticed how people, God's people are described in the book of Revelations? You ever notice how they're described? Look at Revelation 17, I want to show you. Revelation chapter 17. I want to show you how God's people are described in heaven. Revelation 17. Notice how they're described. It's a good description. Revelation 17, 14. Notice what it says. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings. Now listen how His people are described. Revelation 17, 14. They that are with Him are, how are they described? Called, what else? Chosen, too. What else? Faithful. That's God's people. Called, chosen, and faithful. That's how they're described. So if we're going to glory, glory in the Lord. Sometimes people say things and they learn better later. I remember one time a fellow was saved and he got saved here. I presented the gospel to him. He went around telling, you know, Jeff saved me last night. And I said, well, I appreciate the Lord giving me an opportunity to tell you about Him, but I didn't save you. I can tell you how to be saved, but I didn't save you. Don't tell people I saved you. Because the Lord deserves the glory for that. I don't deserve any glory. He could use anybody to tell you. But it's the Lord that does the saving. What's that old hymn we used to sing at church? Jesus. Jesus saves. He's the one that does it. And when you understand His calling, it's an inward calling, and it's making it alive, and it's opening the understanding, and then it helps you see it even more clear. That's why it deserves all the glory. So if you're going to glory, you glory in the Lord. You don't ever hear me stand up here and say, oh, let me tell you how many souls I saved for Jesus last year. Don't do it. I didn't save anybody. Lord saved them. Lord called them. Lord opened their eyes. Lord made them alive. He gives us the privilege of telling it. That's why we're not hard shells. Hard shells don't believe in spreading the gospel. We spread the gospel. We believe the Lord takes that gospel message and uses it to bring His people in. All God's people see it. This calling is a salvation calling. It's an inward calling. Number three, it's a saint calling. It's a calling to be a saint. You know, another name for God's people is that they're saints. Turn to the book of Romans chapter 1. I might get done early, but I still got another point, don't I? You know not to count your chickens before they hatch. Turn to Romans chapter 1. It's a calling to be a saint. Boy, you talk about an abused word, it's the word saint. Really, it's one of the most abused titles for God's people that they are. If you're here tonight and born again and trusted Jesus, you're a saint. I'm going to go off on that here in just a little bit, but before I start talking about it, I want to show it to you. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 and verse 6 and 7. Now remember what the message is entitled tonight. It's the called according to His purpose. And I told you that was a salvation calling. And then I taught you that this was an inward calling. And now I'm showing you that it's a calling to be a saint. It's a calling to be a saint. Now notice Romans 1 verse 6. Among whom are ye also, here he uses the same title, the called of Jesus Christ. Now he's talking to the church at Rome here. And he's talking to the saved. He said, you are the called of Jesus Christ. They received that inward calling of the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God. Now notice what it says here, called to be a what? Called to be a saint. Who called them? The Lord did. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let me show it to you again. It's used there also, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, means set apart in Christ Jesus. Here you have it again. Called to be a saint. Who called you? The Lord did. What's the word saint means? It means a holy one. It's what you're made in Christ Jesus. You have your sins charged to Jesus. His righteousness charged to you. You have a righteous standing with Him. You're a saint. You see, the only way you can become a saint is be in Christ. One of the many problems I have with Roman Catholicism is they have people becoming a saint after they're dead, based on their deeds. Now, I can't remember which pope they're wanting to make a saint now, but they're wanting to make him a saint. He's dead, and they're wanting to make him a saint based on his deeds. You'll never become a saint based on your deeds, and it's too late to become a saint after you're dead. You have to become a saint while you're living. And you become a saint by trusting Christ. And the only way you can become a saint is to be in Jesus. Outside of Jesus, you're a sinner. In Jesus, you're a saint. Only way you can be. I get aggravated when I talk about things like that. I apologize for it. But that's ridiculous. That's not biblical. That's nowhere in God's Word. That's a tradition that's been passed down for years. That's nowhere. If you want to become a saint, you become a saint based on God's grace in faith, by faith in Christ Jesus. And you become one while you're living. These people in Romans was a church at Rome. They were living. The people at Corinth, they were a church at Corinth. They were living. They had trusted Jesus. They were no longer sinners. They had become saints in Christ Jesus. And that's what you are whenever you're saved. You don't become a saint based on your works. You become a saint based on His grace. All God's people say it. Folks, that's true. That's truth. I'm telling you, if there was truth, that's truth. Okay? So things like that irritate me. Become a saint based on your deeds. Never make it that way. All right. Number 4. It's a love calling. It's a calling to be a saint. You've been set apart for the Lord's work. I should have mentioned this under saint. Of course, the idea of the word saint's a holy one, and that means that you've been set apart. The Lord didn't save you for you live your whole life serving the world. He didn't do it for that reason. We live in a nation, really, and it's all about money. People live their whole life, and they live for their retirement. Now, we talk about lost people for doing that, and they say, well, they're going to waste their life, and the end of the days, they're going to die and leave all that they worked for behind. But the Lord didn't save you to have you make the world your main reason for living. Did He? I mean, after you're born again, Paul said it best, for me to live, Philippians 1, for me to live is Christ. That's why I'm living. You know, for you to live is Christ. I want you to hear me now. If for you to live is Christ, there's always a reason to live. Aren't they? I want to say it one more time. If for you to live is Christ, always. Some people say, well, for me to live is my job. I listen to some of these athletes on tell, oh, for me to live is football. What happens when football's done? What happened when the job was over? Well, for me to live is my children. Or for me, what happens when your children move away? Or for me, what happens? Man, you best adjust what you're living for. When you're born again, for you to live is always reason to live. I'm 53. I don't know how long I'm going to live, but if I live 30 years from now, I want it to always be for Jesus. I hope I can preach the whole time. I don't know if I'm going to be able to or not. But I tell you what, I want to live for the Lord. That's what I want to do. And I don't want to do that. I'm not trying to do that to get saved. Now, that's another big problem I have. But people, you don't do your service to get saved. Salvation is a gift of God that's been purchased already by Jesus. He gives you that. And then you serve Him because you love Him. And it's an honor to do it, ain't it? It's an honor and a privilege to serve the King. To be able to tell people about Him and teach people about His Word and to instruct your family in the Word of God and things of that nature. It's an honor to do it. To live is Christ. You've got to get that priority list straightened out. That's true. There's always, always a reason to live. All right, it's a love calling now. It's a love calling. Let's go back to Romans 8. I'm going to have time to add that fifth one. That'd be all right. All right, let's look at the fourth one now. It says, I said it's a love calling. Now, if you look down at verse 28, it says, we know that all things work together for the good to them who do what? They love God. Now, why do you love God? Notice the rest of it, what it says. To them who are the called according to His purpose. Those who love God are the ones that were called. Until He called you, you didn't love Him. Until He called you, you just stayed right there in your sin and didn't care about the things of the Lord. But when He called you, old-time preachers used to say it all the time, but they said it. When that Mount Zion calling gets a hold of you, brother, you're going to come. I used to hear them say it all the time. But all they're talking about is the inward calling. The Holy Spirit does that. So I don't try to pull people up front. Oh, man, it causes false conversions. I'm going to tell you one thing. When the Holy Spirit gets part of your heart, son, ain't nobody going to have to pull you up front. You'll come. He says, Lord, I want to be saved. I want to trust You as my Savior. He opens your heart and you have a desire to it. So when those that He calls, that's what it says. Those that have been called according to His purpose are those that love God. That's when your love for God began. I left my cell phone on. Now, direct rebellion to the deacons. Now, I had something I wrote. Debbie, she's up here in the balcony. She couldn't find a dress at the mall. You know, what a crisis that can be. And so I went and sat at Starbucks, where all the good men sit when they need to. So I was thinking about the love of God. I was thinking about this. It's been a couple weeks back. And I want you to hear this now. I want you to listen to it. I'm not done. Nowhere near. But listen to this. I'm talking about our love for God. It says, our love for God began at the new birth. I'm listening for an amen there. When you was born again, that's when you started loving God. Sinners tell me they love God all the time. You don't love Him if you reject His Son. You're saying, I don't want You to rule over me, basically. Your love for God began at the new birth, which is when you trusted Jesus. Our love for God began at the new birth. His love for us never had a beginning. His love for you never had a beginning. He's always loved you. That blesses me. His love for us never had a beginning and never will have an end. It never had a beginning, and His love for you will never have an end. He loved us before the world ever began. When He in grace chose us and determined that His Son be slain to save us. Jesus was slain. Of course, I'm just quoting the book of Revelations. Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world and delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Our God also has given us a great promise that nothing will ever separate us from His love. Here's what I wrote that down for. God's love for you had no beginning. And His love for you has no end. All God's people said. That's a pretty big love. That's a pretty big love. That's how much He loves you. So, He loves us. He's loved us for a long time. And this calling that He called us with was a love calling. And His love doesn't have a beginning, nor does it have an end. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and let's go to verse 9. I'll stop with this one. I've given you too much at one setting, I know. Why do you love the Lord? Well, He first loved you. I'm going to have to read that now. I intended to read it. Don't forget where I just told you to turn. Don't forget 2 Timothy 1 then. Let me see if I can find this. Are you ready? Herein is love. Not that we love God. It's 1 John 4:10. I know you're looking for it. I found it. I want to read this to you. Herein is love. Not that we love God. Well, did we love God? No, you didn't love God. You were an enemy of God before you saved, Ephesians 2 says. Dead in trespasses and sins. Walking a worldly course. Read Ephesians 2, 1 and 3. That's where you was at. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. You know the reason why we love God? We love God because He first loved us. That's why He did it. He loved us, and that's why He called us. Did we deserve that love? Absolutely not. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. Now, I want you to look at this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and now this, you need to add this fifth one to this calling list that I give you, and I'll go back over and give you five details of this calling at the end, which I'm at the end. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, notice what it says. Who saved us? Who hath saved us? Who saved you? God did. Who hath saved us? He called us with a holy calling. Now that's another description of this, or another detail about this calling. It's a holy calling because it comes from Him. It's a holy calling. Are you ready? It's not according to your works. Him calling you was not based on your works. He didn't look up through history and say, well, look how good Eddie Lovejoy's going to be a good boy, and I'm going to call him based on that goodness I foresee in him. Look how good Jeff Sexton's going to be, or look how good Jeff Arthur's going to be. I'm going to call them according to my purpose because of what I see in them in the future. No, not according to that text, that ain't true. He saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to your works. If I got what I deserved to earth, it'd open up and I'd slide right into hell, and so would you. It's not according to your works, but it's according to His own purpose. And His grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, when? Before the world ever began. She's loved you a long, long time. All right, the message tonight was entitled, The Called According to His Purpose. We give you five descriptions of that calling, five details about it. We showed you it's a salvation calling because it ends in justification. We showed it was inward. It's a calling that opens the heart. It's a calling that makes you alive. And number three, we showed you that it was a calling to be a saint. We showed you that it was a calling. He called you because He loved you. It's a love calling. And then last of all, we showed you that it was a holy calling. So that's what it means to be the called of Jesus Christ. Now, you know what you should do tonight? when you go home, as you're driving home, you should thank God for your calling. You should thank God that you understand who He is and you know Him. He has given you an understanding to know Him that is true. If it wasn't for Him, you'd still be in your sin. And that's what I'm so thankful for. If you're here tonight and unsaved, you ever hear me say, that's why I say, as if the Lord's spoken to your heart and you see your need for a Savior, Scripture says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you have a desire to be saved, you can be. Maybe the Lord's touched your heart this evening. You see your need for it. He'll save you right there where you sit. If you in your heart say, Lord, I want to trust you as my Savior. I need this salvation which is in Christ Jesus. He'll save you right there where you're at. Nothing any more important than that. You're not going to spend very much time here. I don't care how you slice it. You're not going to be here real long. You need eternal life. You need victory over death. You need a home in the Father's house. You need forgiveness of your sins. And that's in Christ Jesus. And He promises if you'll call upon His name, He'll save your soul. Let's all stand, please. Thank you for your attention tonight. Y'all was a good audience this evening. Good congregation. I pray that the Lord bless you with this message tonight. Invite you, of course.